Hi, I'm John Henkes, Wisconsin Eye, and we are grateful for the opportunity to spend a few minutes with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss to conduct a year-end interview. So thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you and your family. Well, let's start by talking about your home, the 63rd Assembly District. Mm-hmm. You've been the elected rep since 2004, and then along comes 2017. Mm-hmm. An incredible year for your district, perhaps the best of good news with Foxconn,
right,
and perhaps one of the worst in terms of the flooding in Burlington. Mm-hmm. Very different topics, issues, but yet there seems to be a common denominator, and that is the spirit of the people of the 63rd mm-hmm. to work together to forge a new path forward. Talk about the spirit of
I should hire you for our promo video. So you're exactly right. So, you know, everybody believes that they live in the best community in the state or the best community in the country, right? That's why you choose to live there. But, you know, my home is Burlington. My family came there in the 1840s, so my dad's second cousin is still on the original family homestead. So I've lived there my entire life. I hope to die there someday, long in the future. But the idea of saying, why do I live there? Because it's a beautiful place. It's close to a lot of amenities. There's a good hard work ethic that really means a lot of success in our community. So it wasn't surprising to me when we had the floods and that everybody came together. There's actually a hashtag Burlington Strong, where what really happened was people came together. They literally had hundreds of people volunteer to fill sandbags all the way through, even to today, where there are still some families who are not back in their home. And that's why we have our food bank, who has an awful lot of needs, just like they do around the holidays everywhere across the state. But then, you're right, we kind of had the capstone, the largest economic development project in the entire nation, brought forward by a foreign corporation wanting to invest in my home area. So, you know, when Governor Walker announced this project, I got to tell you, my buttons burst because I couldn't think of an area that is better suited with a long manufacturing history, but also innovation close to the interstate in between two great cities of Chicago and Milwaukee with a great way of life. Now, I got to be honest and say, are there some growing pains that are happening? No doubt about it. Just simple things like land values have gone up. We've always been largely agricultural. Well, now the value of renting land has gone up substantially for the farmers who have to deal with that. So my heart goes out to them, but I also know that in an area like ours where people want to live, the demand is always there. For the people who are losing their homes, especially those who are where the Foxconn facility is going to be built, my heart goes out to them that they're treated fairly, and I know they will be as they choose a new place to locate, hopefully close to our facility. But, you know, really all the way up and down, I'm so proud of Wisconsin. Low unemployment, surpluses in our budget, record investments in education, showing what it can look like when a government steps up and responds to what the people want. Hopefully Washington learns a lesson from us.
Oh. Well, just to wrap that up, could you have predicted at the beginning of 2017 that your hometown, your district, would have been in the national news on two very different issues? I mean,
no.
That's pretty remarkable.
It was pretty remarkable. I got to tell you, if you would have told me a year ago that I would go to the White House for the largest jobs announcement in our nation's history for a foreign investment in our country, I would have said you're crazy, especially bringing it to my home area. But once again, looking back, I'm not surprised because all the raw materials were there, right? All the seeds were planted. And it doesn't surprise me that this probably a year from now, we are going to be talking about other major jobs announcements that we can't even imagine today. That the Foxconn project is just the first catalyst. It's the initial seed that's being planted. But other flowers, other crops are going to grow all around that site, all around Wisconsin, because of the decisions that we made in this very chamber.
Let's talk about that for a minute. This was, in some ways, an historic state budget. Mm-hmm. It took a little bit longer than most thought it would take, but got it done. So put on your professor's cap for a second and give it a grade. The budget in total or in pieces, what earned an A, what earned a B, what earned an incomplete?
Sure. I would say the overall grade for the state budget is an A-, because I still feel like we didn't address the long-term transportation funding needs. That's why the only minus in the budget, really. But I would say this, John, that you know, we're kind of a mature majority, right? We've had the majority since 2011, so most of the folks who are here are problem solvers. They understand how government works. We have new ideas married with those who have experience. And it's why I have to constantly remind ourselves that we are running the government, which our primary focus is to make it reform-oriented, to sort of be innovative, to try to deliver services in a new way that's more efficient, to do it the least expensive way that we can. But at the end of the day, it's our job to deliver the services that people depend on, the school down the street, the snow plowing, the foster care services, making sure that we have enough money to take care of Badger Care, run the prison system, have a great university. Those are our core missions. And that's what I want to focus on as we go forward, to show that over the course of the next 2, 4, 6 years, like we have reformed so much already, now we need to turn a little inward and say, how are we going to make state government ready for the next generation, the next millennia? Even things like the university system, that was formed in 1970 in a merger. Well, there's a little bit of an update that's happening, which I think is good, but can we be more innovative to make sure that over the next century, we are still a national leader? How do we deliver health care, right? We were one of the first in the country to create a system like Badger Care. Well, now that we've seen that they're probably not going to repeal the Affordable Care Act, the Obamacare in Washington, now we need to step back in the spotlight and say, okay, how can Wisconsin be that innovator to make sure we have fantastic health care at a reasonable price for middle-income families? So I think it kind of reinvigorates me to say that there are challenges that we've solved, but an awful lot that's left undone.
We know that in recent history, things have become somewhat partisan. Mm-hmm. So as you look optimistically to the future to implement some of these changes and reforms, it seems to be incumbent upon a majority party leading the way. So given what we've seen nationally with the landscape and so how some of these national elections have turned out, and look into the midterm, mm-hmm. What's your projection on how this is all going to play out in Wisconsin in state races?
Well, I think Wisconsin's going to be a little different than the national. Number one, you know, I beg for a willing partner in the Democrats to sit down at the table and find ways to get to yes, right? I want to give a lot of credit to the folks who served on my speaker's task force on foster care, right? They put aside their partisan lens, a Democrat and a Republican co-chair. They found consensus, 13 good bills that I hope all 13 will pass in the assembly, hopefully get to Governor Walker's desk, because it focuses on my idea of reforming the things that government does to make sure that we're meeting the needs of our constituents and the people who depend on those services. So I think there's a lot we could do. But in the hyper-partisan world that we are in, I think Democrats spend most of their time trying to complain about our progress as opposed to saying, geez, how can we participate to make it better? Foxconn is a prime example. The largest investment of foreign capital in our state's history, one of the largest in the history of our country, paying $15 an hour with benefits, pretty much a Bernie Sanders platform. And all my Democratic colleagues can do is constantly complain about why and how and, you know, almost talk down the project. I would love them to sit at the table and say, let's make this better for everybody. And if we adopt the goals, they have to be a yes. So I look at things like foster care as an example. We're doing a Blue Ribbon Commission on school funding. We know that our school funding formula, most basic thing that state government does is provide education. But it's based on a model that was with ever-increasing enrollment. And now with almost two-thirds of districts either flat or declining as people have fewer kids, how do we pay for our schools? Well, that should be a concept that we all sit at the table, find a consensus, and work together on. I hope that'll happen. My fear is that it'll be a whole lot of time complaining about something that happened 10 years ago and why didn't we do it different then? Well, that doesn't really matter. I could complain about why the Packers didn't win the 2000 Super Bowl, but it doesn't really matter. So let's focus on how are they going to win the next game? How are we going to make sure our state goes forward? So my hope is my Democratic colleagues in both chambers engage with us. We have a positive message that we take to the voters. I am very confident that we are going to maintain the majority in the Assembly. I think we will in the Senate. I'm confident Governor Walker is going to win. So I hope Democrats embrace the idea of being willing partners as opposed to constant opponents.
Okay. Well, there's some history there about whether that works or not. And it does bubble up to leadership and a willingness to extend the olive branch. Mm-hmm. So kudos to you for that.
Yeah, thanks.
Go back to Foxconn for a minute. Recently, we learned in the news that the state has designated some of the local roads within that larger Foxconn area as state highways to allow access to state road funds. Does that in any way at all delay some of the articulated projects or those currently under construction? And you mentioned earlier about transportation funding as still an unsolved issue. How does that Foxconn piece now with those road designations fit into prioritizing projects?
Well, I think it's been very important to our caucus to ensure that as much as we are humanly able and financially capable, that we make sure that every part of the state that has road and construction needs gets it done. So luckily, we have been very good stewards, and there have been significant savings in many of the projects around the state. And I think a significant chunk of those savings are what is being reinvested in some of the roads around the Foxconn project. So it shouldn't delay or take away from other projects around the state. Are there needs that are still unmet? No doubt about it, which is why our caucus fought so hard to try to say, we run the government, we need to make sure we have good quality roads, and you have to pay for those rather than just putting them on our state's credit card. So that argument is left unfinished, so we haven't come to a final conclusion on that. But I'm very optimistic that the job of us to ensure we have good paying jobs with roads that can take them to a good paying job is going to happen in every part of the state.
So crystal ball, if you will, do you think we'll see tollways, toll roads anytime soon?
You know, I'm okay with Peter Bark, and I often talk about it. I'm fine with tollways. I would love to get more money from Illinois, especially as all these workers probably come up to work at Foxconn. You know, we're going to have a lot of people who flock to Wisconsin, and hopefully most of them will live in our state, but some are going to live over the border. I want those people to come work here. Bring your time and your talent to help our state move forward. So is it possible that we're going to have toll roads? I would say the odds are less than 50%, even though I think it's a good idea.
Okay. Let's talk about a local issue or a state issue that's in the news right now. You have asked Elections Commission Interim Administrator Mike Haas to step down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What about Nathan Judnick, the legal counsel who was also part of the GAB during the John Doe investigation? Your thoughts on whether he needs to resign, step down?
Yeah, so it all comes down to the fact that I try so hard in my job not to make things personal, right? Not to make them about individuals. So when we got rid of the Government Accountability Board, that was not about individuals at the time. It was about a process that I viewed as inherently partisan, that people hid behind this veneer of nonpartisanship. Well, we now know, once it's been peeled back, it was intensely partisan, right? They were only going after one party with a voracious attitude. So we created this nonpartisan entity where we wanted Democrats and Republicans to come together to pick an umpire to call balls and strikes. And I think if anybody believed that an umpire favors one team or the other, the entire game is undermined. And that's frankly how elections are, right? So, you know, I have an appointee on each of the commissions. I've met with them. They have not seen inherent problems with the current structure. So I don't want to say that I see a glaring problem. But if people have the belief that the umpire is going to call when the call really is important for one team or the other, it undermines the entire process, which is why, knowing the FB confirmed by the state Senate, that's entirely in Senator Fitzgerald and his caucus's decisions, but it sounds like they're not going to confirm them. It seemed to me to be able to bring new folks in who didn't have a tie-in to this old system where there were serious doubts called into question as to the ethical nature, the contempt citations that could be issued, all of the processes right in the middle of the budget or the election cycle. How does that help people have confidence in our process? So I kind of hope we could have a clean start, but I guess we'll probably not.
The elections next year require that there be a greater confidence in the boards that are put together to make this happen in a fair and unbiased way. Mm-hmm. So are you saying that if Haas is removed, we will be in good shape moving forward?
I hope so. I mean, because we'll have to pick somebody, and I assume they wouldn't be from the old structure, right? So you wouldn't have any of those problems. But it requires Democrats and Republicans to join hands and work together. So my hope is that we've seen them work well together so far. I don't see any reason why we would not see that going forward unless people play partisan games, which I hope they would not. So I'm optimistic. I think Wisconsin's in a good place. Our elections are good. I think we're going to have a good outcome for all of us. And in the end, people continue to be proud of Wisconsin.
Your biggest hope for next year?
That we are able to have an election cycle where people focus on the issues and not on personalities and cutting everybody down.
Favorite holiday tradition?
Oh my goodness, baking cookies with my family. We actually do it right before the holiday. We all get together for 3 or 4 hours. We decorate cookies. We take the time to remember that it's not just about gift giving, but it's about time. And that's the most important thing we have to give.
And Speaker Robin Voss's favorite Christmas cookie is what?
Anything that my sister bakes. She is an amazing baker, let me just tell you that.
Well, thanks for your time.
Thanks, John. Merry Christmas.
Yeah.